Good morning again, and welcome to our Thanksgiving service. This is one of my favorite times of year because it's the time of year that we remind ourselves how important the practice of gratitude is, how it can change our perspective on everything if we take the time to think about how much we have to be grateful for. If you are visiting here today or at a Thanksgiving service for one of the first times, I want to let you know that this service will be a little bit different from most. We are all together for one thing, all ages through the whole service, and the pieces and parts are sort of scheduled differently, if you will. There may be somewhat more mayhem than usual, and isn't that a lovely thing? I'm going to be asking for some helpers this morning just to get our mayhem started. I need some helpers who will come and hand out some small bags of items. Now, when you get them, and there should be enough for each of you to have one, you don't need to open them here. In fact, it's probably better if you don't. But you will notice that the contents are things that have particular flavors, perhaps. And we are going to be using each flavor as a metaphor for the many flavors of gratitude that we experience all the time in our living. So if you look in your bag of goodies again, you'll see at the bottom, maybe on the other side from the sugar cubes, some cloves. And cloves sometimes are not very tasty all by themselves. I'm not sure you even want to eat them all by themselves. It's a good spice with other things, but on its own, it can sometimes taste a little bitter. The story I want to share with you this morning is a little bit from personal experience, but I'm going to ask you all to bring yourselves into the story as well. When I was younger, I was in high school, and I was living in Hawaii with my family. And at the beginning of my senior year, I got a gift from my parents that was totally unexpected. It was a little bit of a stretch for them. It was kind of a big gift. And it was something that a lot of my friends had. But I never expected my parents would get one for me. It was a bracelet. It was a gold bracelet. And it's called a Hawaiian heirloom bracelet. It had my name on it in Hawaiian. And they gave it to me at the beginning of my senior year so that I could wear it all through that year. In Hawaii, the tradition of these bracelets is that they're given as gifts. And you wear them for as much of your life as you have them. You never take them off. And then you give them, you pass them along when you are able or wanting to or have someone to give it to. So when I got this gift, it was just, I was stunned and surprised and delighted, and I wore this bracelet all the time. I never took it off. And it wasn't just that it was a beautiful bracelet. It's that they had thought to give it to me, and that it had meaning for me that made me feel a part of a community that I might not have without it. I wore it through the rest of high school. I graduated from high school wearing this bracelet. I graduated from college wearing this bracelet. Never took it off. I got married. I had children. I worked. I learned. Everything I did, I had my bracelet on. And it was sort of like when I looked down, like sort of like my thumb or my finger. You know, there it was on my arm. And one day, for who knows what reason, I was in exercise class, you know, and it was the era of step aerobics. So I'm stepping and waving my arms all around, and something didn't feel quite right. And I looked down, and my bracelet was gone. It wasn't on my arm anymore. I thought, this can't be. I'm not seeing right. Imagine looking down, and your thumb is not there, or your elbow. I don't know. It was a part of me. So I went into a little bit of a panic. Now, I wonder if any of you have things in your lives, maybe things, maybe relationships, maybe times in your lives that become so much a part of you that you hardly think about them until something happens and you look up and it's not where you thought it would be, or the world is not the way you thought it would be, and you don't quite know how to make sense of it. So I looked and I looked. It was the middle of winter. We walk our dogs in the wood all the time. There was lots of snow. I put up signs. I drew a picture of my bracelet. I looked all over my house. I wept because things just didn't feel quite right. And this went on for probably longer than it should have because it was just a thing after all. But it was an important thing to me. After about 3 or 4 days, I stopped fretting so much about it and I thought, okay, it's a thing. The things that are really important to me are still a part of my life. I can keep going. That's fine. And then I thought, well, I learned my lesson. Could I have it back? But no, not then. But 4 or 5 months later, when the snow melted, I was at the house one afternoon and waiting for my kids to come home from school. And Ben walked in about 5 o'clock. He's my son. And he said, Mom, close your eyes and open your hands. And I thought, oh, come on, I'm making dinner. We've got things to do. We're busy. No, Mom, close your eyes and open your hands. Okay, what? And what do you think? He put the bracelet in my hands. He had been walking home from school, and the snow was melting, and he saw a gold, shiny thing by the side of the road and picked it up, and lo and behold, he knew what it was. He knew I missed it. I was so excited. This thing, this symbol of something so important in my life had come back to me, and I thought, oh, this is wonderful. Of course, I was so grateful and so excited. Thank you, Ben. He was so excited because how many times do you get to do that for someone? You know, bring them something that you know is so special to them. It was wonderful. As life would have it, that summer, we went up to the lake where we often go in the summer. And at the end of the week, I realized it's gone. It's not on my arm anymore. I don't know whether it went to some fish in the lake. I keep wondering. Every year when I go back, I look down off the dock and wonder if I'll see a sparkling something. It might have gotten lost when I carried laundry to the laundromat. But this time, it was gone for good. And there are times when those things that are most meaningful in our lives, or at least some of the most meaningful, come back to us, and sometimes when they're gone for good, we have to learn to find the gratitude in those experiences. It taught me a lot, this little bracelet, beyond what I thought it would teach me as simply a gift of love from my parents. Sometimes it takes us a while to get to that place of gratitude from those little moments of either sadness or bitterness. So our third and final story this morning comes to us from the Islamic tradition. It might reference the cranberries in your packets, little pieces of surprise, little unexpected things that sometimes are sweet and sometimes are sour, but keep us guessing. What about the walnut? No, that's right.
Nasreddin Hoxha was lying in the shade of an ancient walnut tree. His body was at rest, but befitting his calling as an imam, his mind did not relax. Looking up into the mighty tree, he considered the greatness and wisdom of Allah. Allah is great and Allah is good, said Hoxha. But was it indeed wise that such a great tree as this be created to bear only tiny walnut fruit? Behold the stout stem and strong limbs. They could easily carry the pumpkins that grow from spindly vines in the yonder field, vines that cannot begin to bear the weight of their own fruit. Should not walnuts grow on weakly vines and pumpkins on sturdy trees? So thinking, the Hoxha dozed off, only to be awakened by a walnut that fell from the tree, striking him on the forehead. Allah be praised, he exclaimed, seeing what had happened. If the world had been created according to my meager wisdom, it would have been a pumpkin that fell from the tree and hit me on the head. It would have killed me for sure. Allah is great Allah is good, Allah is wise. Never again did Nasreddin Hoxha question the wisdom of Allah.
There is a mystery beyond our understanding in life, a rhyme and reason to the world that we often discover at some point makes a lot of sense. Pumpkins grow on the ground and walnuts in trees. Seasons flow one to the other, and we find ourselves grateful to be a part of it all. Whether you thank God or Allah or Jehovah, the sun, the clouds, and the rain, or one another, every day gives us the opportunity to practice gratitude as a habit of our hearts. Milton Erickson suggested, life will bring you pain all by itself. Your responsibility is to create joy. And being grateful does just that. It inclines us to recognize our bounty and can create joy from it for ourselves and for the others around us, because we cannot be grateful and unhappy at the same time. It doesn't work that way. So we've taken some time today to think about the things we are grateful for in anticipation of our Thanksgiving holiday. We found that some things are sweet, many things are sweet and easy to appreciate, and some things are not sweet at all. In fact, some things in our lives can be sad, sometimes bitter, and take time to appreciate for what they offer us. Sympathy, empathy, compassion, breadth of understanding, perhaps. And some things remain mysterious, and in that way, occasionally surprise us, either with delight or wonder, even confusion sometimes. The trick, I think, is to put it all together into that which would make a life we can truly be grateful for. Sorry, I had to disappear for a moment. So I've taken all the pieces of your bags, the sweet, the bitter, the unexpected, and the surprising, and baked them into a life. These two have no nuts in deference to allergies. But we might consider them, in fact, the bread of life. If you will, it has the sweet, the bitter, the tangy, the mysterious, mixed all together, offering us the wholeness that we long for in our living and the chance to be grateful for all the flavors in our lives. We'll cut these loaves into many pieces, a little bit like the fish. I didn't have time to bake more. And hope that each of you has a chance to at least taste a small bite during our coffee hour. And I encourage you to take the contents of your packets today and bake them into your own loaves to share with friends or family this week. I hope you will take the time for a little life review, perhaps, identifying for yourself which parts of your life fall into which categories, and if there are flavors missing, to find a way to add them into this in so that the mix is whole and nourishing, and that for which you can be entirely grateful. May we carry these moments of thanks into our daily lives, practicing gratitude as a habit of our hearts. So may it be, and amen.